Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, I want to say before we come to this last part of our programs today is something happened in the beginning when God created the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and they're walking around in the garden with God. I mean, with God in the evening, the cool of every day, they're walking and God's just like, oh, how was your day? It was pretty good, you know, and ate a few animals and ate some fruit and whatever. And it was pretty good. How was your day? Oh, I don't know. I created a few universes and held everything together and gave you some air to breathe and all that. And it was just awesome things were going on. And then God had two trees in the garden amongst all the other trees. And these trees were very unique trees. One tree was called the tree of life. And the other one's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of all the things that God was, expectations of a man was, hey, take dominion. It's all yours. Go forth, replenish, do everything, you know, just go for it. It's just yours. I'll rule up here and you rule down there under me. And in the context of that, he says, oh, but just one thing here, this tree called the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from it. That was it. That was it. It's like, don't touch the wet paint.
All right.
You know, right. Is it wet?
Stay away from the cookie jar.
The sin nature. Yeah, the sin nature. And so that was it. That was the whole thing. And so, okay, we got it clear. This is all he said. This is what he told us to don't eat from that particular tree. So what happens? This is how the fall of man happened. This is a few simple words that took place. And it's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And Satan was in a form of a serpent in this garden right here. And he says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, this is Eve, did God really say? Think about it. I want you to pause for a moment. Did God really say? It's like, hello, how are you doing? Why would you even bring that up to me? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? It's like, it's kind of, you know, what are you talking about? Well, why would you even mention that with me? Why are you talking about any tree? You know, and the woman, you know, said back to Lucifer, the serpent, and says, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. If you touch it, you'll die. So Lucifer, the serpent says, you will certainly not die. What did your preacher tell you? What did that cult, what is those Jesus followers? You won't die. This is what Satan says back. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows. Speaking of all of a sudden, God knows that when you eat from this particular thing, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be just like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And of course, she buys into it. She eats, and that's the fall of man. That's the beginning of your fall, America. The beginning of your fall, Mr. Ma'am, is this. Son, is questioning what God said. It always begins with a question. Did God say that? Oh, come on. Did he really say you would die? Did he really say that? That these are the ones who don't enter the kingdom of heaven. Did he really say, is that really a sin? Come on. And then he presents to you a bipolar narrative, which means it sounds a lot like what was being said, but it's the opposite. And he comes right in, he says, you will not die, which is the opposite. God said, you will die. And then, now that you bought into those first two tears of that conversation, if you don't run back to the cross and repent, the next thing you're going to be falling to is now they're going to speak for God and they're going to say, see, God knows. He knows if you do this, you're going to be like God. You're going to have a lot of fun and you're going to have all these. He's just denying that stuff from you. He just doesn't want you to be. he knows you're going to be like him. He doesn't want you to be like him. He don't want you. He's, you know, and just provoking that sinful jealousy and all those things going on. And of course, that was how the thing fell. That's how the fall of man. Mm-hmm. And you think about it today. I mean, think about all what God is clearly tells us. He says so specifically, not only is it spoken, but it's written down. I mean, it's written. It's not like it's somebody said something. You could easily be misinterpreted. You can actually read what he said. And think about all the things that are being said in regards to what God said. And you're hearing things like, you know, what God clearly says about other gods. And people are like, you know, did God really say that? Did he really say that? You know what God says about sexuality? You know, did God really say that? What God said about what God says about finances? Hmm. Oh, come on. Did God really say that? Are we really robbing from God? What God says about marriage between a husband and a wife, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just what he says between a husband and a wife. Come on. Did God really say that the husband's the head of the wife, like Christ said to the church? Come on. That's just, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Think about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or what God says about fathers. Did God really say that about fathers? What God says about children and parents. Oh, come on. Come on. Really? Did God really say that? What God says about employees. Come on. Really? Really? You mean, did God really say you can't protest your boss and force them to be in compliance with your will? Did he say, oh, come on. Did he really say that? What did he say about, you know, with children? Did he really say submit to your parents? Oh, come on. Did God really say that? Or what about employers? You know, did God, come on. Did God say that I'm going to be held accountable how I treat my employees? Oh, my goodness. Come on. What God says about authority. Did God really say, come on, there's no such thing as real authority anymore, is there? What about God said about discipleship? Come on, did God really say to make disciples of nations, the true disciple is somebody that actually knows and follows his teaching? Come on. Did God really say that? What about obedience? Oh, come on, you know. Did God really say that loving him is obeying him? Come on, you can love him without obeying him. What about love? Come on. Did God really say that you got to love? I mean, you can hate folks and all that kind of stuff, you know, right? Come on, he didn't say that.
Wow.
Come on. What did God say about forgiveness? Come on. He didn't say you have to be forgive. You have to forgive before you can be forgiven. Come on, you can hold on forgiveness your whole life. Or what did God say about, you know, going into all the world and preaching the gospel? Come on. Did he really say that? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to tell him. What God said about the poor? Oh, come on. Did God really say that he that lends to the poor lends to God? If you ignore the poor, you ignore God. Come on. On and on and on. Think about it. Eve had one question about one tree. And we got 500 trees that is written on these trees. Do not do this and do that. And we're buying one bipolar narrative after another, and we're going through, and all of a sudden now what you're hearing now, you're hearing exactly the next level of, now that we bought into all that, you're hearing people saying, this is actually what God says, and it's bipolar opposite. This is what finances are, this is what marriage is, this is what family is, this is what children are supposed to be, this is what a husband and wife's relationship is supposed to be. It's the total opposite of what God says. Total opposite. That's what happened in the fall of man in the garden, and now it's happening all peripherally, all over the place. And in what we call the church is happening in that as well. And the next question is, when you buy into the lie of saying, he knows, let me tell you what God says. It's all right what you're doing. It's okay. Don't worry about it. He just didn't want you to have this. He didn't want you to do that. He was just trying to hold it back. You know, this is all yours. He knew that you would be God. You would be like God if you did this. The next thing you know, you have celestial heavens and people saying they're going to be God. And it's like in servants, you know, angels, Lucifer masquerading as an angel of light. No wonder his servants look like servants of righteousness. Hmm. And it's like, think about it. Look at all the many people who are saying today, did God really say that? Think about it. Did God really mean that? This is the God. Let me tell you who God is. And all of a sudden they just describe this other God. They use the same word, the same vocabulary, but that's not the same God. They're preaching to you another Jesus. But that's the way it works. And by the way, if you're wondering how come you're in the predicament you're in right now, because you had this conversation with Lucifer, and you started thinking what God said was optional, and it wasn't even a conversation, it's written in the Bible. Mm-hmm. 81% of the church hasn't even picked it up, according to George Barna in America, to even find out which tree you're supposed to or not supposed to eat from. I mean, you're had the moment you got up, you were had, because you got to first find out what God says. It's the fall of man. And then all of a sudden, you know, in the 19% that are reading, only 3% are making decisions. They're saying the 3% are making decisions in their life based on what they read. In other words, they say, okay, I'm not going to eat from that tree because God says don't eat from that tree, but I am going to eat from this tree because God says eat. That's the kind of decisions 3% are making. So what does that mean? Do you really think America's not going to fall? 5% of the population of the world is America, by the way. Do you think that we are not going to fall when we've done this to God? I mean, we can change it by beginning to personally repent and begin to teach the truth and say, this is what God says. God didn't say that. And I've repented now. And this is the way that we're going to go now. And we're going to tell everybody, this is what God says. But that's going to be a real tough humbling to get to that point, because we have to begin to apologize, repent for the fact of preaching whatever we were preaching that was a lie.
We just cut out.
Why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is all over the faces of those who call themselves the church, the fruit from it. Mm. The question is, if you taught them that, imagine the accountability you're going to have in your life. Mm. Imagine what God thinks about you when you've led God's people astray. He talks about you in Revelation chapter 2. He gives you time to repent, but this is what he says. It's real tough for the ones that are like that to repent. But he also says those who follow her, that follow her teachings that lead the church astray, if you don't repent, you end up in the same bed of suffering. Revelation chapter 2, Church of Thyatira. Mm-hmm. I just want to encourage you. Let's go back to the garden. Let's begin to abide with God. Find out about an abiding relationship with him at iabide.org. Understand, it's very simple. God says, do this, don't do that. And then he empowers you through his son, through his spirit, when you rely on the finished work of the cross of Christ to do exactly what he says. By the way, he has eternal expectations for us. Wide is the road that leads to the ones who just eat whatever they want to, define God ever how they want to, and change the words and ways of God. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. I want to encourage you today to make a decision for Jesus Christ. If you want to find out about how we met God through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Now, we had some deep talks in our programs today. They are so important. We want you to know. I mean, the whole thing, this is what the Lord's specific word was. I have some things I want to tell my people. And he's revealing things to us that we're just sharing with you. It's like there's no middleman. It's just like, boom, you know, you're hearing it. And the fact that we're coming live that day, you're getting a fresh rhema that this day. I mean, you don't need knowledge. You need rhema. You need word.
Exactly.
And so in the context of all today's programs, if you heard them all, I want you to hear this. Because so many folks, one of the strategies of the adversary was to steal a vocabulary and kept the same words, changed the meanings. And so when you hear certain things, he's keeping with the same words, but he's changed the meaning of them. And so the understanding, did God really say that with the fall of man, was, well, the way to get people to buy in is just keep the same vocabulary, but change the meaning of that word. And one of the meanings that's been, one of the words that's been stolen, lots of them been stolen, you know, one is there is such thing as somebody preaching to you another Jesus. Just a rubber stamp that says the name Jesus does not mean, there are people called named Jesus, by the way. And that ain't Jesus, that is Jesus.
That's Jesus, yeah.
and which is also Jesus. And but you can actually say the name Jesus And everything they say about this particular Jesus could be a different Jesus. It's not the one, the Son of God. It's just some other Jesus. For example, Islam, they acknowledge Jesus as a prophet, not the Son of God. And so they have this whole other definition of who Jesus is. It's their own definition. They say he's not the Son of God. He has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And so they do say Jesus, and they'll tell you, hey, we believe he's a prophet. But if you go deeper, it's another Jesus they're talking about. And Paul said, if anybody preaches to you another Jesus, and in this, you're going to see a related article post off the torch called Another Jesus. Make sure that's related so people can understand that you can have another Jesus. And sad to say, a lot of people are doing a lot of good stuff. They're doing it in the name of another Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they're doing good stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you want them to be saved, you got to introduce them to Jesus, you know, not good works. And, but another one that's been stolen is, you know, church. And when you say church, you know, people, you know, they think about a building, and hopefully we'll have some related articles to go deeper in that as well, that we've already talked about on the torch about, you know, church, some original tenet of the church is, it's not a physical building. It's not, I don't care how pretty your stucco, your metal, your wood, or your crystal is, and it's, you know, that's a building, physical building, but that's not the church. That word's been stolen, but you'll have people drive by all day long and go, well, look at our church, look at the church, we're going to church, you know, over and over again. But the truth is that Jesus, the right Jesus, is the Son of God, the only way to God, and paid the price for us to get there. In regards to the church is the people, it's us, human beings. When he talks about the church and the word of God's written, he writes to the universal church or the regional church. He talks to the church of Ephesus, the church of Corinth. That means all the believers in your city. If I was going to write a letter to you, I would write a church, you know, to the letter of Passaic, or a letter to Houston, to the church of Houston. And that would include every believer in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. And that's how God sees it, by the way. And so that was been stolen away. So people don't apply the word to themselves because they apply it to the other thing called the church. And they criticize it, and I realize, and you are the church. And the last thing I want to talk about, because what do you do with all this? When you hear people say, God's going to begin to deal with his kingdom, he's going to deal with his church. Now you understand, he's going to deal with us.
Mm. Yeah.
He's going to deal with some stuff in his kingdom. He's going to get some stuff out. You know, you should not... Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that you should not have idols inside? So it wasn't what you were talking about in that building. He says, don't you understand you are the building of God?
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about, when he's talking about the kingdom of God, he says in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus tells us the kingdom of God is within you. So what God is going to do, and what if we'll allow him to do it and say, here I am, God, and this is true revival. This is true a great awakening that would take place, is allow a pillar of fire to come from God's throne room and just hit you right in your chest and burn out everything that's not of God that's in you, because know ye not the kingdom of God is within you. And so it's not rearranging the political scheme. It's not rearranging, you know, the Constitution. It's not rearranging that building up the street, or having a new board, or bringing a new pastor in or a teacher in. If the kingdom of God is within you. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things, his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything, which means you have to begin to be his disciple again. A disciple, this is what Jesus said a disciple is, and it's not optional. He said, if you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciple. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you want the kingdom to be set free, if you want the kingdom to be loose on the face of the earth, it starts with the kingdom of God inside of you. Say, here I am, God. Change the world by changing me. In Jesus' name. Be blessed. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households. all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today. Or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.